Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
WEEI Afternoons, we're live here at Gillette Stadium. It's Christian Arkin, Andy Hart. That was Adam Schefter, friend of the program. You can hear him on these airwaves on this show Wednesdays at 3:45. He was on with Pat McAfee today and had that to say. Now, it was speculative. I mean, it was speculative in nature, the answer that he gave there to Boston Connor with the mullet, the guy. He's always asking the Boston questions.
The really long Boston questions.
He does ask some long questions. That is true. And he really, I'm not sure how much to read into that. How much do you read into Schefter's comments there? Do you think any of that's informed speculation?
No.
No?
That felt like informed by history, I guess. That's how it felt to me. Like, he's probably believed in the past in a similar situation. Oh, there, that owner, I know him. He likes that guy.
Right.
He's not doing anything. And then saw an absolute dumpster fire happen and something was changed. The plan was altered. I don't think it was informed by anything more than history, like in terms of a call to Robert or Jonathan or somebody here. Just if he doesn't turn this around, he's in trouble. This was no Rich Keefe, he's on the hot seat kind of scoop or anything. But I do think it's always a possibility, right? Like, if it's a train wreck.
There's 5 weeks left. How bad can it get that Mayo has to really worry this?
What if all the games look exactly like yesterday?
I don't know. Is that enough?
And by the way, everything looks like yesterday. There are reports out of the locker room that players are laughing and they're not taking anything seriously. Maybe mix in an off-the-field issue because they seem to have squashed those. Those came in like a flurry.
Actually, we have some breaking news. You want to hit the sounder? Might as well hit the sounder for this.
Sun Beach.
All right, here we go. Breaking news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
I think instead of playing the sounder,
you should just play that.
Just have Stiz go, okay, breaking
here
news.
Here we go, breaking news.
Here we go. That was better. That was better than the actual sounder.
Sorry, guys.
Mike Reese. Jabril Peppers reinstated today, no longer in the commissioner exempt list from the NFL. In accordance with the personal conduct policy, or the PCP as it's known, the league initiated a preliminary investigation into an incident from early October. That review will remain ongoing and is not affected by this change in Peppers' roster status. So, he's reinstated. He's eligible to participate in all team activities, which includes playing in games, despite the fact that the NFL has not finished their investigation on the incident that happened back, I forget when it was now, but back in September, I want to say. And the legal process is not fully played out yet either, right?
No, but there was a hearing last week in which his lawyer once again said, we have video evidence that we feel like sort of contradicts the statements of the alleged victim. And there is an ongoing, I believe, civil lawsuit for $10 million. And they are kind of tying it all together like this is a money grab situation. I think the lawyer even said something to the effect of, while that's not truly extortion, it's down those lines or something like that.
Hold on, I have some details on that, just real quick. Attorneys for the woman who accused Peppers of assaulting her in October, not September, rebuked the claim made by Peppers' lawyer that she would not testify against the star for a $10.5 million settlement. So it was hush money. They're basically saying that she wanted that, and she's saying, no, that's not what I wanted. Peppers faces multiple assault and battery charges, including those against a household member. During his pretrial hearing, Peppers' attorney, Mark Brofsky, questioned whether the alleged victim is on board and whether she's going to testify because a New York City attorney for the victim sent a letter demanding $10.5 million to settle the case or else she would file a civil suit. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. Like, that sounds, isn't that how things went with her, the Hernandez thing in the documentary? Like, the guy gets shot in the eye. They were going back and forth, and then he basically filed a civil lawsuit, wanted a payment.
Right.
That doesn't, like, for example, in that case, he was right. Hernandez shot him in the eye. Well, allegedly. I don't know if that's proven yet, but at least in the way it was filmed in the course of the show.
Aaron Hernandez would never do that.
He was actually shot. So right. I don't know what happened in this instance, but from our purposes, the courts will play that out. They can decide, juries, whatever.
Well, here's what her lawyer said. She said, Mr. Pepper's lawyer raised this. We're not going to comment on a confidential settlement discussion, but Mr. Pepper's lawyer asked us to meet to discuss a potential settlement and asked us to convey a settlement proposal. The women's lawyer said the presented a proposal that did include a monetary payment for our client's pain and suffering. The proposal also asked for an apology from Peppers for him to undergo intensive counseling and to make a financial contribution to a domestic abuse support organization. But there was no pressure for a multi-million dollar settlement to avoid time in court, according to the lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, I believe everything and I believe nothing.
Right.
So, like,
well, that's what they're saying.
Right.
You believe what you want.
Both sides can say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
But more importantly, if I remember,
still no denial that there was cocaine in the
right,
wallet,
which is a separate issue. But
right.
If he's allowed to go back on the team, would you bring him back to the team? Like, wasn't that question posed to, I believe the Greg Hill Show posed that to Gerard Mayo when this came to light. Is he welcome at the facility? And he said, not right now. But now he's eligible to come to the facility.
Mm-hmm.
He's eligible to play against the Colts on Sunday. You're a better defense with Jabril Peppers on the field.
That's true.
I can say that with certainty. Would you allow him, knowing what you know?
Well, I don't know anything. All I know is what's alleged.
Do they know anything?
No, which is why I'm surprised they're taking him off the list right now. Like, why would they take him off the list
for me
when nothing has been settled yet?
For me, the NFL opened the door for you to bring him back on the team. It feels like
they
the
did.
NFL opened the door towards there's some truth on the side of Jabril Peppers. Now, my issue, and you just brought it up, is what about the cocaine? Are we just ignoring the cocaine? Literally and figuratively, we're just going to brush that under the rug and move on? Because that seems like a separate issue that could be worthy of suspension or could be worthy of getting in trouble for. But the way I read this, if the NFL removes him from that commissioner's exempt list now, when nothing has played itself out, I think there is at least an insinuation that there's some truth on the side of Peppers and that would make him eligible to return to the team, in my mind. Right?
Yeah.
Like, again, we don't know the details. I'm not sure anybody knows all the details, but that little fact that they took him off the commissioner's exempt list, unless I'm reading too much into this, is there a finite period on the commissioner's exempt list? Can you not leave him there in perpetuity? Do you have to make a decision with X number of weeks?
I just don't understand why you wouldn't wait, even if there is whatever, even if you've seen a video and you think, oh, okay, this maybe works in his favor. You don't want to see the process play out a little more and also conclude your investigation? If you think that, if you saw something that you think exonerates him, then don't you come out and say, we saw this piece of evidence, we think that Peppers is being set up here, whatever they think, and therefore we're going to let him play again. Otherwise, if you're still investigating, as the league is still investigating, why not just close the investigation? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Rush to the Yale.
So my question, and I'm trying to Google it real quick, is it possible, though, that under, like, the CBA or whatever, The commissioner's exempt list is only for 6 weeks, and you have to remove them after a five.
I don't know that. I don't know that.
And that's why I'm trying to look this up to see if there is anything. Because but I would also argue, they have to be careful. They're not a judge, right? They're not,
No.
Just because they think something doesn't mean that's how it's going to play out in courts. Just because they saw evidence that leads them in one direction. I mean, hell, we see it all the time on an NFL field. People don't know what a catch is.
Right.
So they see video and they think it means one thing. Doesn't mean the
court. Has Mike Pereira weighed in on this yet?
Right.
But I think also, I don't anyway. I don't know if you do. I don't give the NFL the benefit of the doubt when it comes to domestic violence situations and letting guys back on the field. I mean, Ray Rice and what's his name on the Cowboys, those guys are back out on the field. Like Greg Hardy, those guys are back out on the field pretty quick. And I don't know. I mean, I think that I'd like to say that they've learned from that, but I don't know that they have.
So would you not put him back on your team? Would you not allow him in the building? Would you not practice him, not play him, just say, I know you're off the list, but until this plays itself out, we're not going to go down that road?
It's easy for me to say this because I have no stake in it sitting here in this chair right now. But if they hadn't concluded, I just think it would make the team look bad.
It could.
If we put him back on the team before they concluded their investigation. Now, maybe that makes the league look bad for taking him off the list. Well, hey, we're not ready. We don't agree with you that you should be off the list. But I don't know. I mean, that to me would be a very tough call. I don't think I would.
And not that you should necessarily take this into account, but you're not going to win any games. Like, it's not like you're going down the home stretch and we need three wins to make the playoffs and we know we're better with him.
And you're right. That shouldn't matter, but it does.
But it kind of does. Yeah. It makes the decision easier. We're actually looking to pick in the top five of the draft. You might screw that up. You might help us steal a win because you're a pretty good player. And we don't know for sure what happened that night. We don't know how this is going to play out. I think the easy decision here is to keep him out of the building and off the team.
Yeah.
Assuming that you can legally.
Well, I mean, you don't have to play anybody. I mean, you don't have to.
Right.
Put anybody on the field.
But I don't know that you could.
Can you keep him out of practice, though?
Ban him from the facility.
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
Maybe they can change his card like they did to that kid on the Jets in Hard Knocks. Remember? He's like showing up and he can't get in.
Hey, was he being paid that whole time?
Yes. You get paid, I believe, on the commissioner's exempt list. Yes.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Jabril Peppers eligible to come back. We'll see what the team ends up doing. Would you let him in or no?
I don't think so, and I would take the meow way out and say we're not that good anyway. The easier, the safer decision is to not allow him back. Like, you can have a conversation with him even and say, I like you. I trust you. I believe you. But it doesn't matter what I believe. Something happened, and I need to let it play out.
Well, then he's going
to
say, well, the league says I can play. The league made me eligible, so now it's your call that I can't play, right?
And I'm not going to allow you. The league looks out for the Shield. I look out for Pat Patriot. I look out for this organization. I have to make decisions in the best interest of this organization. And for the here and for the now, we can't afford to take a risk on you.
All right, once again, in case you missed it, Jabril Peppers now eligible to participate in all team activities. He was reinstated today and is no longer in the commissioner exempt list. That despite the fact that the league announced their review into the incident and the preliminary investigation of the incident from October with that woman is still ongoing and is not affected by this reinstatement. So make sense of that what you will. For more on that, here is Stiz.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With what's trending. Nice one, Stiz.
That was actually Dan Ball. I got to give him credit. I was looking for a song that, you know.
Dan Ball.
About time we had a producer who was on the ball.
Hey, how about that?
Get used to those, people.
Dan Ball, who will make his big debut on the show tomorrow. Very excited about that.
Let's go.
You'll all get to know him soon enough. In the meantime, that was both Jerod Mayo and Drake May bemoaning the fact that this offensive line, mostly, there was also some other guys committing penalties, but it was mostly guys up front, just a constant barrage of false starts, lining up in the neutral zone in some cases, holding, you name it. The offensive line has been bad all year, certainly, but there's a difference between a talent gap and no discipline, right? I mean, like, these aren't talented offensive linemen. These aren't blue chippers, as you said, guys on the O-line at the tackle position, really anywhere, and some of that's due to injury. Not much of it, but some of it's due to that. That doesn't explain why week in and week out they're out there committing just scores of penalties and setting Drake May back on every single drive. He was at second in perpetuity, was on second and 15 the entire game, it seemed like. Every single drive, there was something pushing him back. And eventually, even veteran quarterbacks get fed up with crap like that. A 22-year-old out there with no wide receiver trying to make it happen on second and 15 every single drive. What are you supposed to do? I mean, it's, I felt bad for him in that regard for sure. But it just seems like something that you have to be able to coach out of these guys somehow. And it just gets worse every week.
You'd think. You said week to week. Month to month. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So we were efforting. I don't think we ever were able to find it. But Hunter Henry in early August, second week of August, during a press conference on the side of the training camp practice field, and I'm paraphrasing here, but said, we need to get rid of the errors that take no talent. Basically, to remove things that aren't a question of talent. And that is lining up properly. That's knowing the snap count, right? If you can't do that, the operation is basically what Bill Belichick used to call it, the operation. We got to get the operation right. They can't get the operation right. That was in early August. So early September, early October, early November. 3.5 months later, It is still a massive problem. Why?
Don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I agree with
that,
you.
I don't think that there's any real quick fix to it. Why is it a problem? Because they have nobody better. I mean, that's basically the issue here. Is
but
that
why
they
can't they figure it out? Like, Vidarian Lowe seems like a nice fellow.
Right.
Hell, we had Jerod Mayo tell us he likes to smile. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy.
And right? that was the explanation for why guys were laughing and joking in the lot. Well, Vidarian Lowe is just a smiling guy.
Yeah, I mean, that may be true. There are people like that. Do you know people like that just smile in awkward situations?
Yes.
It often gets you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in the locker room post-loss, a state trooper pulls you over, like, if you smile in stressful situations.
Christian Barmore, maybe if he smiled, he wouldn't have.
That's true. Maybe he would have helped him a little bit instead of screaming.
Right.
But it can annoy people, and it kind of gets you in more trouble.
Mm.
But Vidarian Lowe seems like a nice guy. Seems like he works hard. Seems like he cares. So why can't he figure it out? Like, what's the block?
I don't know.
What's the mental or physical block preventing him from again, if you tell me Vidarian Lowe gets killed by Chop Robinson, then I'll go, well, I mean, Chop Robinson is a really good young pass rusher.
Right.
Vidarian Lowe is. No. We're not getting to that point. We're getting to the point where he can't line up. And Drake May answered it well, I thought, earlier when we asked him about these. You can't tell me it's not annoying, frustrating, whatever the negative emotional energy you feel when drive after drive, play after play, series after series, you look up and you're 5 yards from the back end of the sticks. The literal behind the sticks, 3rd and 16. You're right. Tom Brady. Go run the numbers. Bet you Tom Brady doesn't have great numbers, 3rd and 16 in his career. Bet you Peyton Manning didn't. Bet you Aaron Rodgers didn't.
Yeah, no one likes to be 3rd and long,
no,
second
it's hard.
And long, first and long. I mean, it's every single series. They were some. It's 15 yards somehow.
And it's 3 months later.
Right.
For guys that I do like and respect, I'm talking mostly about Vidarian Lowe here. I don't know as much about DeMontre Jacobs, who did get benched for City So. But why can't Vidarian Lowe figure? Is it just, you know, the mental yips kind of thing? I don't have an answer for it, and obviously they don't have an answer for it, because if they had an answer for it, I feel like they would at least attempt to figure it out or fix it.
Yeah, I think that if there was, and again, I mean, we heard Mayo after the game, or not after the game, this morning with Greg Hill, asked about, well, if you had different players to sub in, would you be doing things differently? He said, yeah, of course I would be.
Right.
And Vedarian Lowe is kind of the poster child for all of that, unfortunately. This is a guy who, you know, was he even drafted? He was a sixth-round pick, I want to think, for the Vikings. Like, he wasn't some guy that was well-regarded, and he kind of bounced around, and the Patriots picked him up and thought, you know, this could be a depth tackle. And then when Trent Brown hit the bricks, it's all of a sudden, this guy's your starter. And so here you are. This is what happens when you neglect your offensive line for so long. And Belichick did this, too. He neglected the offensive line. He neglected the wide receiver room. Belichick also neglected the quarterback room, let's be honest here. There wasn't really too much of the offense that I feel like Belichick was doing correctly or preparing correctly on a week-to-week basis. And that's why you have this continuation of a basically bottom-of-the-barrel offense here that's 32nd and 31st in all these different statistical categories. But part of that has to do with the fact that you have an offensive line that in some cases you have fill-ins. You have guys who are pulled off the practice squad because of injuries or because Nick Leverett couldn't play or whatever it
is. In all cases, not named Onwenu.
Right. And Vedarian Lowe was not one of those cases. Vedarian Lowe was someone that you projected to be a starter all the way in camp, right? Who was the left tackle?
Okorafor.
Okorafor was not really, though. I mean, he
started the season opener.
Right, but I don't think anybody really expected him to be the full-on, okay, here's your left tackle all season
long. Elliot Wolf did.
Right, but that didn't last very long. Fine, all right, so you had him for a week or two, and then he quit the team, and then Vedarian Lowe was your only backup. So, fine. Okorafor is someone they did spend
like
money
high
on.
High school, he quit the team.
He did. I mean, he did quit the team.
And then he quit.
But even if he had stayed, then you still have a crappy left tackle, right? Like, I mean, he couldn't do it. It's the reason he quit the team is because he couldn't do it. So no matter where you want to start with all of this, there was never a functional offensive line in the plan at any point. You know, like that. How are you supposed to win that way? How are you supposed to coach that up? Like, it just, after a while, these questions can't be answered, you know?
And that's why, that's my most specific concern about Elliot Wolf. It's not just that he had a bad draft, but he had a bad draft and a bad offseason in the two areas I now need to trust you to go fix: wide receiver and offensive line, right? We're thinking they need three offensive linemen, potentially.
Yeah.
If you have Andrews and Onwenu. And I'm not even sure I would prepare for life without Andrews moving forward. Like, I'd have.
He said he wants to play again.
No, I know, but he's getting older. Too, like, yeah. I just think you should have a center, and maybe that's Cole Strange. Maybe Cole Strange develops into the next starting center behind Andrews. But so we need Elliot Wolf to go out and get three starting caliber offensive linemen. In an offseason when he didn't get one, he couldn't find one. He came up with a terrible plan, and then we're going to need him to go out and get multiple wide receivers. In an offseason when he went out and got multiple wide receivers, Javon Baker doesn't play, KJ Osborne doesn't play, and Jalen Polk barely plays.
Right.
The guys he brought in to bolster or be the centerpiece or be young guns can't play.
Can't beat out the junk you already have.
Right.
Right.
So he solved nothing at the two biggest areas of need last offseason that remain the two biggest areas of need, but I'm supposed to trust him to go do it again. So that's why I have no faith in him. How do you get to the rest of the way? There's five games left. You can't keep jumping off sides. You can't keep false starting. You can't keep lining up improperly.
Right.
It's not fair to Drake May's development. He'll snap. I think he's a diamond. You can't break him, but he might snap. It might be a detriment to his mental health.
Or he might start just counting down the days before he can get out of here.
Right, and that's
bad. And not want to re-sign and not want to pick up the fifth. You know, like, I could see all that happening, too.
So, but short answer, because Jerod Mayo did say if I had better players, basically, yeah, I'd be making different decisions. But he also said there could be decisions made in this area. Do you think Vedarian Lowe starts at left tackle this week?
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
I think yes, he does.
I'm going to say Mike Onwenu goes to right tackle and somebody plays left tackle. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's, what was the guy's name? McKenzie? I don't know.
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull up the practice squad here.
Caleb Jones.
That's what they're going to have to do is go to the practice squad, which then begs the question.
Or so.
Is it worse to have your left tackle committing a bunch of penalties or a practice squad guy just letting people go by? Now, Vedarian Lowe was letting people go by yesterday, too. But, you know, you want to take a step down from that. And we'll see what Caleb Jones or Jalen McKenzie was the other one. Jalen McKenzie is the other tackle that they have there. I don't know much about either one of them, except that Caleb Jones is enormous. He's 6'9", like 380. Just an absolute beast of a guy who's been sitting on the practice squad waiting for his chance here. I don't know. I mean, he's probably, if he can't break in this offensive line, how good can he really be? I'd say say that about any of these guys. But also, you wonder how much worse can they be?
Right.
Really?
That, like, that's
how
where
much,
I'm at.
How much worse can it get?
And I do think the penalties are doing a lot of damage, more so than maybe, and I could rue this statement, more so than maybe one missed block or one missed assignment because the guy's not quite ready. Going third and 16 time after time, having penalties and lost yardage and all of those things, chasing the sticks is physically detrimental, but I also think mentally detrimental for everybody. It's like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
We're bums. I feel like you're losing the
game. And then you bench the other guy.
Yeah, and then you bench the other
right?
guy.
Not that Jacobs was having a good game, but he wasn't committing five penalties in the first quarter. Like, wouldn't you bench that guy first?
They benched the guy that I think was struggling more physically than they did the guy that was struggling more with the penalties.
Yeah.
But that's why I wonder if maybe it's City So.
Who do you think Drake May wanted benched more? The guy that's letting people run around and then he has to get out of the way quickly, or the guy who's setting them back to second and 15 every drive?
Probably the guy setting them back.
That's what I
think. I bet you the competitor in him is like, if you miss a block, I'm used to that. I've been doing that.
Right.
I'll run, I'll step up, whatever. But
which he did. I mean, he didn't do it a lot, but I was wondering about that too, because May, I think, after that whole thing with the concussion, he's talked about, well, I want to be a passer, and I want to be able to move around in the pocket and pass out of the pocket. He's not taking off and running as much anymore. He only did that like three or four times, I want to say.
Yeah, he did it. I thought,
and there were a lot of opportunities too.
More early in this game than he did early last week. Last week, remember, there were like none early, and I think there was only like three in the totality of the game. There was a little bit more early, but I do think he wants to be a passer, or he wants to show he can be a passer. I don't know if they're at that point where everybody else is ready to show him as a passer. I think he needs to take whatever's available right now.
Five rushes, 26 yards, as long as it was 9 yards. So maybe, you know, maybe it just wasn't there. It wasn't really there for anybody else. Hasty had that one big run. Ramondre Stevenson, I'm starting to wonder.
Yeah, you're down on him, and I don't care for it.
2 yards a carry, and I feel like this has been going on for a couple of weeks now with a couple of exceptions here and there. For a team that was expecting him to be their main guy, the main focus of a rushing attack that was supposed to be the centerpiece of the offense, he's looking like a below-average Jag running back
Did you miss the last 10 minutes of the show where we just talked about the offensive line being an absolute mess?
Yeah, we did.
Debacle.
I didn't miss that.
Because Ramondre Stevenson is not as good as I think I expected him to be.
He's very hesitant to hit the holes.
Yeah, there's
maybe there's not a lot
holes.
Of holes there. But Gibson wasn't like that. Gibson was at least making something happen.
Yeah, but he also has a different skill set.
Sure.
And I think that's sort of his game as a converted wide receiver slasher type.
Gibson had 6 carries for 31 yards. Stevenson, 8 for 13.
Yep.
I mean,
well, he had that one play that
the offensive line was bad for both of them. I guess, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I just,
even if he gained 6 yards there, then it's what, 8 carries for 19 yards.
I guess my point would be, not that he's Saquon Barkley by any means. I think if you put Ramondre Stevenson on the Eagles, he'd be a productive running back. I'm not
probably
saying the star.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the offensive player of the year, but I think he'd be a productive. I think this offensive line stinks. I've thought this since day one. If you remember, everybody was like, oh, the line did a good job in Cincinnati. And I was like, he had 118 yards after contact of his 120. He only had 2 yards of before contact. And I was watching last night.
Haven't seen a lot of that since, by the
way. Saquon averages 2.6 yards before contact.
Mm.
So he gets up. He averages more than Stevenson gets in totality before contact. Like, that's telling you the difference between the line of scrimmage, the linemen, the holes, the opportunities that are there. So I'm not telling you that Ramondre Stevenson is a great running back. I don't think he's the top 10 guy that Gerard Mayo has been selling him as all year. I also don't think he's incapable. He's a 1,000-yard running back in my mind, behind a good line. Behind a competitive line, he's a 1,000-yard running back.
I could agree with that. I think right now he's on pace for like 800 yards or something along those lines, and this is with a bad one. So, I mean, again, he's not having a good year, and there's an extra week in the season, so 1,000 yards isn't what it used to be either.
Not much at all.
Either way, it's not. I mean, he's not going to hit that, and it seems like week in and week out, there's not really much, and Drake May has to do so much throwing the ball on every down because they can't run the ball, and Stevenson can't make plays.
It's a chore for these skill position players working behind this line. That's just part of the whole problem. The offense stinks. We can kind of parse it and detail it and pick out bright, you know, one catch here, one play there. The offense is really bad, really, really bad. We thought it was trending a little bit upward. And now the bottom has sort of fallen out of it again.
Yeah, and it does go to show that it takes more than a promising young quarterback to
drag an offense from the worst in the league to something other than that. And eventually, I don't think it's happening right now. I still think people have a very, like, Bryce Young, when he was out there and the Carolina offense was bottom of the barrel, people blamed him for it.
Yep.
People were like, Bryce Young doesn't know what he's doing. He's lining up behind the guard. He doesn't know where to go, and he doesn't know where to go with the ball, and he holds on to it too long, and blah, 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 all these problems. Drake May's not getting that same criticism. He's not getting anything close to that. People are praising Drake May even still today after another questionable game. So I think that, in general, people are seeing what we're seeing. It's not just us being fans and, you know, fanboying out for Drake May. But eventually, the reality of it sets in. And if it doesn't change and it doesn't get better, Drake May is going to have to go superhuman next year to make this offense any better.
Well,
and I don't know if that's right. I mean, if,
it's not fair.
No, it's not a fair thing to ask of your second year or rookie quarterback. It's just not.
It's different but similar to what they did to Mac. They did it coaching-wise.
Yeah.
I think they kind of asked him to do superhuman things in terms of dealing with an unprecedented coaching switch. This would be, well, you know, you're really good, so go out there. Like, it's not a fair task for him. And it's everywhere. Like, even the little stuff, the DeMario Douglas isn't sitting down in zones. Like, there's almost nothing that works, that's functional, that you're like, okay, that's what we do well. The running game is not that. The short passing game is not that, because DeMario Douglas and he are just 2 weeks in a row, they're not really on the same page. You know, I talked about Booty falling down after pushing off. How many receivers have they had fall down this year? A lot of them. A bunch of receivers. So I don't know what that is. Is that on
new cleats?
Is that on bad technique in terms of getting out over your feet and having too wide a base, blah, blah, blah? I have no. But everything for this team is a struggle, from lining up to the snap count to executing blocks to pass protection, because God forbid the other team runs a stunt. You're getting to the quarterback. If you run a stunt, you're getting to Drake May. The only question is, do you tackle him or does he run out and save his own life and save the offense's hide?
Yeah, and that's why it's hard for me to envision a quick turnaround, because these aren't – it's not like Mayo and Van Pelt came in with the scheme and the team's having trouble with the scheme.
No.
They're having trouble lining up.
Yeah.
They're having trouble staying on their feet. They're having trouble run blocking. You know, like, it's just – it's not
– the basics.
The basics, the basic fundamentals that you, in the NFL, and that's – that seems like a thing, you know, like there's times where, let's say they brought in Bobby Slowick in the offseason, and the team has a hard time figuring out his offensive scheme, and it takes a couple weeks, or even takes a couple of months for them to get there.
Right.
You can deal with that, because eventually, you know the basics, right? You're just trying to figure out a complicated offense, and that may take a while, and there's young players, and who the hell knows, other factors, but at least you know you're building towards something. I don't even think you can get to that point right now, just because you're still stuck in neutral here when it comes to the basics.
Everything.
In the NFL.
I watched something yesterday, and I'm drawing a blank now on what game it was, but they ran the simple wide zone boot,
right,
and it opened up like it's supposed to. There was no defensive end ready to hit the quarterback, and there was a tight end dragging across the field at like 11 yards, wide open. Nobody within like 7 yards of him. That's what it's supposed to look like when you hit that play. I don't know that the Patriots have hit that once this year. Either the guy's not wide open, or there's a guy in the quarterback's face immediately who didn't bite on the wide zone on the outside. Like, that is supposed to be one of their bread and butters. We've talked about it. They wanted to be a good screen team. They're not a good screen team.
Nope.
The screens are not overly effective for them at any point. Sometimes they lead to negative plays. Oh, they've been more creative with trick plays. Every one of their trick plays seems to be a struggle, seems to not quite work, seems to not hit the flea flicker screen. Mm-hmm. You know, Alex Van Pelt was like, yeah, usually when you run that, you get like a big play.
Yeah.
We got like 7 yards out of it. This week, you get the throwback where he's throwing into a team meeting, literally. They're all like jumbled mess where, is Ramondre in there?
Right.
I'll just throw it somewhere in there. He should be there. Like, everything is a struggle for them, and that's why
Mego had a decent point for once in her life. And when she said that, you know, not to complain too much here, but we're gonna start having other guys than Drake May throw passes in this game. Like, is that what it's come to? Is this maybe not the one thing that's working? Is when Drake May throws passes?
It's desperation. But it makes you wonder when you hear like, "Oh, we had a good week of practice. Did you? Did you really?
Because
my eyes are not allowed out there, but." Did you? So I see the game performance, and I'm supposed to believe that when you rep these things, they look perfect on the practice field, and you're like that throwback pass. Did how many times you rep that? I would hope at least 5, right?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think all 5 they nailed it, and then in the game it was that bad?
Mm.
I'm gonna guess no.
Mm.
I'm just gonna guess no.
Probably not.
And I just that's where everything is a struggle for them offensively, and I don't know how you expect that to change, and it's not going to. Actually, I don't know why I'm even saying that. It's not going to change. They're not going to suddenly have this cohesive, oh, my God, they line up perfectly, they block perfectly, we're getting yards, downfield, when we run it, like, that you're not going to get that this year. That's just the reality of this season.
And Mego took a shot at me on Sunday, so this is just the
payback
restitution. And it was a backhanded compliment. Hers was just a full-on shot. Either way, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got room for you here on the phone lines on a Patriots Monday. We're going to take a quick Patriots breather, however, and talk about the Celtics, who are in action tonight with Kristaps Porzingis back in the lineup. Also have a thought on the Bruins happenings over the weekend. Jim Montgomery, certainly not unemployed for very long. We'll get to all of that next. It's WEEI Afternoons, Arcan and Hart. Nice to have you with us here this evening. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Kristaps Porzingis back tonight for the Celtics. Weeks early, everybody was saying that it wouldn't be till December at the very least. I guess that's technically next week. Or I guess a week from today is December 1st. So, you know, here it is, a week early. You've seen Porzingis in warm-ups, taking shots from all over the place in the pregame. And it looks like he's healthy, but I mean, you don't know that from warm up out there at shoot arounds. I mean, it's hard to know anything really, but he seemed like he was moving around okay. It didn't seem like he was limping, didn't seem like there was any obvious stress on his leg. Now he's back, and he's back early. He's going to be playing tonight here as the Patriots, how about the Celtics, take on the LA Clippers. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see him in action. I'm excited to see what he looks like. I do worry a little bit that maybe he's back a little quickly. And I only worry about that because it's him. If it was any other player, I'd say, hey, wow, great, they're back ahead of schedule. Isn't that nice? Get them back out on the court and let's see what they got. With Kristaps Porzingis, though, I think, ooh, he's back already? What's going on here? Are they rushing him back? They got to be really careful with him. I hope they only play him a few minutes and blah, 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 blah. That's just the Kristaps Porzingis experience. It's nothing really personal to him, but this is who you paid for. This is who you brought in. This is who you traded for and then extended. This is part of that experience. So how are you feeling about it?
Optimistic. I like it. I'm going to buy the timeline. It's ahead of schedule. So now they smartly put something sort of far out on the horizon so that it allows for this opportunity to beat the December date. Now, you're always going to be, we've had this conversation before. He looks breakable. He is breakable. He's been breakable. So you're always going to have it in the back of your mind. It's like Rob Williams. There's certain guys where you watch them play and you're just like, okay, how long does he stay healthy? How long does this good run go for? I will say the sooner you bring him back, you can be now as cautious as you want. You know, play him one game a week for 4 minutes and ramp up for like 4 months, right? Like now the fan in me that has seen this team, I don't want to say underperform, but maybe underperform to start the year at times. Not reach the lofty goals that a lot of us had for this team.
They're not going 82-0.
Nope, they are not. They're not going undefeated at home.
They are 14-3.
They're not going to prove Steve Kerr wrong with a bitch slapping at the Garden because that didn't work out for him.
Like, no, it did not.
Some of those things faded.
They have the second best record in the league behind Cleveland's. Better record than the Warriors, the Thunder, and all the other teams.
And they beat Cleveland.
And they did beat Cleveland, yes.
So, no, I if you're a Celtics fan, you should be excited about this. We've talked about it. Kata, I think the bloom is off a little bit, not just because we had that one game where Brian Scalabrine was like, Kata can't play in this game. Like,
that was a Tommy Heinsohn impression right there. Yeah.
Good to get some depth back in your bigs a little bit, and I think he's important. I think he's important for their long-term greatness, for them to be as good as they can be and not put too much stress on Al Horford at any one point and not force Kata into situations or matchups or athletic games that maybe he's not capable of playing in, he's big. And we also remember, like in spurts, he can have those quarters where he's the best player on the court.
Oh, definitely.
And that's you say that about him. You say that about Brown, who the other day really pissed off the Minnesota broadcasters by hitting five threes.
That was really fun.
obviously, Jason Tatum at any point. Like, you have three players right there that I don't care what game they're in can be the best player on the court for a spurt for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a quarter, a half. And that just makes you better. That's more fun. It's more entertaining.
Yeah, it certainly is. The Celtics and the Clippers tip off tonight at 7:30 at TD Garden. There's also this. Over the weekend, Jim Montgomery got hired immediately, 5 days, which is the shortest time that a coach has ever gone from fired to hired, I think, in any of the four major sports in America. I think that's like one of the all-time records.
I was thinking about that. Like, this feels unprecedented. It feels borderline historic.
It's definitely the most in the NHL. I think I read somewhere over the weekend it's the most ever in any sport. I'll double check on that one. But either way, even if it's not, it's right up there. And Montgomery got hired so quickly to a team that fired their current head coach.
Yep.
That you almost wonder what was going on behind the scenes there. If there were offers being made in the offseason and Montgomery was turning them down, and then all of a sudden he gets fired and is immediately picked up by the Blues, who fired their head coach, there was some sort of, you know what I mean? Like this,
good for
something
him.
About this, I kind of agree. Like, you know that they're going to drop this on you. You know that things aren't going great. But also, were you really even trying to win this year? Like, you know what I mean? Like, did you have one foot out the door the entire time?
Maybe if you wanted me to try to win, you should have given me a contract extension.
Probably, yeah.
I put this wholly on the Bruins.
5 years, right? Five-year
right deal.
5 years.
A year for every day he was unemployed. No, I mean, I don't know how Bruins fans look at it. I have no ill will towards him. I thought he kind of got done dirty, as the kids would say, by the organization, by his own players. McAvoy feeling gratification the day he was fired. I'm still fixated on that one poor word choice by him.
Someone told me he's meant to say gratitude, the day of gratitude, which I don't get that either.
That you still have a job and he doesn't?
Yeah, well, you're grateful? Like, you're grateful for this? Like, why would you be grateful for this?
He bungled that whole hit. But no, this is good for him. Good for him. Like, I no ill will towards him. Do I think he did a great job? No. Do I think they respected him? No. Did he have a foot out the door? That's certainly a possibility based on the circumstances.
Yeah. Elliot Friedman said this the other day. He said, the one thing that I look at from everything that happened this week is I hope there is a day where we get a chance to hear what kind of happened in those negotiations between the Bruins and Montgomery. Because I don't think it's as simple as they made him an offer and they couldn't come to a deal. It's over. The team's not winning and we're going in a different direction. I think it was deeper than that. I don't know if Sweeney and Montgomery saw the future the same way. Not sure what that means.
I'm not sure what that means either.
That is.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If the Bruins fired Don Sweeney today, would he have a job in 5 days?
Not in 5 days. He'd get a job this year.
Quickly?
But not in 5 days.
You think quickly he'd be?
I'd say maybe in the off season. I think maybe it'd be an off season thing. For a GM, it's different. GMs and coaches, I think.
No, I know.
Are different animals when it comes to hiring and firing. But
okay, let me just. The question was basically based on, clearly the league thought highly of Jim Montgomery.
I think the league thinks highly of Sweeney, too, though. But I don't know if it's 5 days.
Even though you think
days.
His roster stinks and he hasn't drafted and he's bungled negotiations. And are those all fair? Did I put those on you unfairly?
No.
You think all those things,
I
right?
think all those things.
And yet you think the league looks highly upon him just because he built rosters that had 100 points and goes to the playoffs.
Exactly, and that's seen as valuable around the league. I don't know if he's considered the tops in the league, but that's considered probably better than certain teams have had for the last however many years. Buffalo Sabres probably look at that and think, yeah, we'll take that.
Right.
We'll take something like that. Montreal probably thinks we'll take something like that. So I don't think it's... I don't think it's a surefire, okay, let's hire this guy right away, but I do think that he would get interest. Maybe he'd get hired this year. It's early in the year, I'd said it in the offseason. He'd probably get hired somewhere this year on a team that was tanking and then blows everybody out and then is looking for someone to bring in. I don't think that a team right now would fire their guy and bring in Sweeney the same way this just happened with Montgomery. That's just a hunch. I don't know anything. That's just my sort of 30,000 feet view of it.
But you root for Montgomery?
Yeah, definitely.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. Unless they play the Bruins. But, I mean, you know, I think that Bruins management has had made a lot of bad decisions here recently in the offseason and so far in this regular season. It just doesn't seem like they've pressed a lot of the right buttons, and this is another example of that.
So they negotiated with Jim Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
who now coaches for another team on a 5-year deal.
Yep.
Jeremy Swayman, who's now a shell of himself, and apparently his teammates don't really like him.
Looking that way, yeah.
Brad Marchand doesn't have a contract. Who else? They didn't really have a great negotiating offseason, did they?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Didn't really do business very well.
No, they just gave Zadorov and Lindholm what
boatloads
they were
of money.
Asking for and didn't really, yeah, it didn't seem like they played
hardball.
Return on
investment is
with either one of those guys. So,
questionable.
Yeah, listen, I mean, not
tough offs. Elliot Wolf's like, yeah, talk more Bruins.
Right, yeah, keep talking Bruins. How come you're only doing 5 minutes of Bruins, guys? Because it's Patriots Monday, Elliot, that's why. 617-779-7937. We will reset on the Patriots. Drake May spoke to us earlier in the day. We will rerun that interview for you in case you missed any of it right after this.